In visions I see the beautiful day,
yeah.
And long to pass through where love once outweighed.
Yes.
Someday I'll go there.
Appreciate that song.
Yeah.
This morning, as I was praying her this morning, I was praying for Brenda, buried her son, Gary. I was praying for Brother Ed, buried his wife.
Yes.
Yesterday, as I was going to that preacher's conference, I started at the door. My wife said, "Hold on a minute, back up." I backed up, and she said, "You got something on your jacket right there." And I did. I guess where I'd eat or something had something spilt all over that jacket right there. And I thought about Brother Ed. I always thought about his wife. I always tell him, say, "Back up. Stop. Come here. Got long socks on. Hey, you got a spot on your shirt." I thought about that. And, you know, a lot of us have buried loved ones. And they just sung that song right there. I picked up a picture frame this morning. Top of that picture frame is a picture of my youngest daughter, Cindy Jane Wade. I looked at that picture, and that's all I got. I'm holding on to that picture, and I'm tearing up. And I said, "Lord, thank you for the years I had her. I could enjoy holding her and kissing her and loving her." I said, "Lord, you hug her for me right now."
Because
I still love her. Look down below there, and there's a picture of my dad. He done graduated this life. Down the bottom was a picture of my oldest daughter, passed away last year, October 23rd. And I just told the Lord, I said, "Just hug them all for me. Tell them I love them all. Tell them I'll be there soon."
Amen.
Won't be long, we'll catch up to them.
That's right.
But down here, we just kind of stuck. Man, I've been stuck before. Had to have some help getting unstuck. But when I get unstuck, praise God, I'm never going to get stuck again. I mean, there ain't no asphalt in heaven. Its streets are gold. There ain't nobody ever getting stuck nowhere.
Right.
No potholes.
Amen. Thank
you, Jesus. No log chains, no troubles. Man, I thank God for that song. Last time y'all saw me, y'all had a younger preacher. All this snow and ice just kind of put a damper on my birthday, but I'm 67 now, retired and loving every minute of it. Amen. I tell you, hallelujah. Heaven, we're preaching today a good message for the day we're living in, for even the day we're in right now. And we'll take our text out of 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Find it myself here. Now, I'm going to have to read a lot of Bible today. I can't help it. It's just one of them things. I don't know that I'll even be able to finish this message today. Now, there's a lot of Bible involved in this. But I'm going to read the first 7 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 30. It said, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein, and he slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Adonam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David." I'm going to go ahead and read one more verse, even though it didn't pertain to what I'm preaching. "And David inquired at the Lord, and saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." I'll stop right there and go to God in prayer. I'm preaching today on encouragement. We need that every now and then.
Amen.
Father Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, your love. Lord, for your protection, for your help. Just so many things, Lord, to thank you for.
Yes.
Forgive us, Lord, all the times that we've complained. All the times, Lord, that we've misunderstood and we're unaware of things that you were doing in our lives to help us. Forgive us. Open our eyes. Open our ears and our heart. Lord, make this message real to us today. I need it as much as anybody here today.
Yes.
Lord, these are discouraging times. I pray, Lord, you'd encourage us, Lord, here today. Help us, Lord, here today. We promise to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Take my jacket off here. And we can't help but get down and out. Things do happen. Sometimes they take us by surprise. Now we're reading about Ziklag here, and it's not really that big a deal And the reason it's not Carolyn is because it's David's Ziklag.
Right.
But when it becomes your Ziklag, mm-hmm. then you can understand how bad this is. When you read about something happening to somebody else, it don't really seem like it's that bad. But when it comes to your doorstep, when it's you that's broken, when it's you that's bearing this burden,
right.
then you can understand this message today.
Right.
David's about as low gets.
Yes.
I mean, there's no way out for him. It's not like he can ignore what has happened. It's not like he can explain it away. But he did have one option, Rita. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just so I can bring this message to where we can understand it, David's somewhere that he ought not be. I've been there myself, Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been in a lot of places I shouldn't have been.
That's right.
There's my own fault for the trouble I got in for being there. I don't want to elaborate. It's going to be a long message. It's going to take me forever to deliver this message. I know it might be a three-parter. I don't know. But he's somewhere he ought not be.
Yeah.
Brother Ed, he's doing something he ought not be doing.
That's right.
Now, the price for that is caught up with him.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say this. He didn't have no choice. Sometimes circumstances start, causes us to make bad decisions. He made some bad decisions, Sandy, but he didn't want to make them. This is tough. If you'll listen today, this message will help you. I don't always have control of my circumstances. I have to take the good with the bad. I have to learn to be content, Casey. I'm not Bill Gates.
That's right.
I'm not Warren Buffett.
Right.
But I'll tell you what I am. I'm rich and both and both put together. Amen. I got the true riches, Tammy.
Yeah, you do.
They got the trinkets of this world.
Yeah.
All their stuff's going to go up the puff of smoke.
Right.
All of my stuff's gold, amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about true riches, amen. But David's dilemma here is probably the saddest thing in the Bible. It's the saddest thing I know of other than Christ. And Christ being the seed of David, they kind of go hand in hand. David's done right all of his life. He's set the standard right where it needs to be. And yet he's in trouble. You're going to have to listen real close here. Like I said, he's somewhere he ought not be. He's doing something he ought not be doing. And the reason he's doing that, I'm going to read the scripture and I'm going to explain it. You're not going to miss it. But it's going to take a while to take all this in. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1 through 7, David says in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. That's his king.
Yeah.
He loves King Saul. David's the most faithful servant that Saul has.
Yeah.
He said, there's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maacah, I can't say none of these names, Maacah, the king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Anoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess. Man, I can't say some of these names, just bear with me. Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul But David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto this king, Ish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country. I like that. My cousin Barry, he's trying to get Sandy to move out in the country, and she's a city girl. She don't want to move out. They spent the night out there one night, and she just kind of raised up a white flag. And you like it out there, don't you? Sometimes you just don't know until you get there. But he said, I want somewhere in the country. A whole lot better than heaven. Neighbors on all four sides, and some of them ain't pleasant to have for a neighbor. Any good out there in the country? But David, he's asking for a place out in the country. I live in the country myself. I always wanted to live in the country. My mom, she lived right there behind her dad, and I didn't have no problem with it, but I always wanted to have a little farm. Well, I've got a little farm now. Sandy's got her little farm now. But anyway, he said, in some place, some town in the country, that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? He said, I'm not a city boy, I'm a country boy. Then King Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth to the kings of Judah unto this day. In the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. So he's been in Ziklag for a year and 4 months. He don't want to be there. He's being persecuted by his king, Saul.
Yeah.
He's just trying to get out from underneath that, Ed. He's put in a predicament he don't want to be in. That's why he's somewhere he ought not to be. And that's why he's doing something he ought not to be doing. When I say doing something he ought not be doing, let's go over here to 1 Samuel chapter 29.
Yeah.
Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to attack, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the reward in the back part there with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said unto the prince of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul? Did you hear that title of David? He's loyal to his king, Jordan. But he's in a predicament. It don't make no sense. Remember, I'm preaching about encouragement. Sometimes your predicament don't make no sense. Sometimes in your eyes, you'll hear what I'm saying here in a minute. It just don't make no sense. David's predicament don't make no sense. But this Philistine king is bragging on David. He said he's the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him. What did Pilate say about Jesus?
Yeah, I find no fault in him.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of parallels here. Since he fell unto me unto this day, and the princes of the Philistines were wroth with this king Achish, and the prince of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to the battle. They get ready to battle Israel.
Yeah.
Hebrews, David's kindred, his brethren. Let him not go down to battle with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. They didn't trust David. Good thing they didn't. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? And he would if he had opportunity. I mean, he hadn't done nothing wrong. Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David of whom they say? Here's where the problem is. Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David is 10,000. Now, I'm coming back to that later. I'm not going to dwell on it right now, but that's where the problem started. Then Achish called David and said unto him, "Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright in thy going out and thy coming in with me, and the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me, unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the Lord of the Philistines." And David said unto King Achish, But what have I done? What hast thou found in thy servant so long as I've been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my Lord the king?" And Achish answered and said unto David, "I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go with us to battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as you be up early in the morning, have light, depart." So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return to the land of Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now listen, that's when David found out his city had been burnt with fire. His family had been taken captive. But this predicament that David's in, it can happen to any of us. Right. You know, you can go around doing good.
Yeah.
And sometimes your good can be evil spoken of.
Right. Right.
Somebody can say things about you. You know, they say everything about Trump. I was corresponding to somebody on the internet this morning. He was talking something about Trump. I said, "Well, did you see that, or was it just told you and you believed the lie? Do you have proof?" I mean, really, be honest with you. People can accuse you of anything. That don't mean it's true.
No.
They accuse Jesus of being a wine dibber and a friend of publicans.
Right.
And they're going to say all manner of things about you. You can't do nothing about it. David couldn't do nothing about his predicament. You won't be able to do nothing about yours. But listen, David's in trouble. And I'm going to tell you why he's in trouble. Now we're going to get to the meat of this message.
Yeah.
1 Samuel chapter 17. A lot of scripture I said this morning. That's the only way I know how to bring this thing out. I mean, as a preacher, I know how all this fits together. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're just going to start for sake of time in verse number 48. Now, this is going to bring us to where a giant called Goliath is holding Israel. You know, they're all scared, they're all hiding, and they're all afraid to go out, including the one that's jealous of David, King Saul. But in verse 48, it said, "It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come into the valley of the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharam, even to Gath, and unto Ekron. And the next verse talks about they spoiled their tents. In other words, they got all the victory, all of the riches of the battle that David won that day. And all sounds good, don't it? But David killed this Goliath named Goliath. Or David killed this giant named Goliath, Brother Ed. But a greater giant took Goliath's place.
Yeah.
This giant's name's called jealousy. You can see where jealousy played in here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6 and 7. And it came to pass when they came, or it came to pass as they came when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out. I was watching cattle this morning, and I expect there any minute instead of beating on this song, but come over here and hit that thing with you. You know, I was expecting that. I'm going to get stuck in my pants here. But I'll tell you, that's what I was expecting. I was expecting her to grab this thing, find a place where they got a nail. I was expecting her to grab it like that, see the thing on that book. Well, that's what them women did. They grabbed something like this. The bass didn't work, and this worked. They grabbed something like that, and they went out with the singing. When they sung, yeah, just to make a point there. Pull a piece on my pants. They're like me, they wore out anyway. But anyway, they grabbed the tambourines and come out singing and dancing, yeah, to meet King Saul. That's the coward that wouldn't go out to fight this giant. They came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical, with instruments of music. Listen to the song these women sang. And the women answered one another as they played and sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now go on down here. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? We'll stop right here on this verse. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Now you know why he had his eye on him? He's looking for something he can accuse David of.
Right.
He's looking for some way that he can take some of this praise and glory from David. He's jealous. Well, that's one thing I don't have a problem with. I've met preachers that were so jealous. They had so many peacock feathers that if they didn't get to preach, I didn't get to preach yesterday, but you know what? That don't bother me a bit.
That's right.
I'm kind of glad, Brother Ed, just to be a little preacher.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be a pastor of a little church.
Amen.
I know it's going to get bigger, but
that's right.
We're just going to grow normal. We're not going to throw gasoline on, you know what I mean?
That's right.
We're going to grow in increments.
That's right.
One of these days, we'll be out there preaching back this way. Right now, we'll preach out here like this. Saul's got his eye on David. David's watching himself. Matter of fact, the Bible says this about David. Jordan said he behaved himself wisely. In other words, he's watching everything he's doing. Saul's watching everything he's doing. I mean, David can't do no right now. This is sad where I'm going with this. The Bible talks about jealousy in the Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse 6. It says it's cruel as a grave. That's pretty cruel. He talks about the flames of jealousy are so vehement that they're the hottest flames there is. Jealousy. Talks about a man, a husband that's jealous, he won't take a ransom. You can't send him a pallet of cash, Casey. He won't accept it. He's jealous. He can't be satisfied until he kills one that he's jealous of. That don't fix it.
No.
But he gets out the one that he's so jealous of, and now he can't dwell on it. Man, this is... I'm preaching on encouragement. I know it sounds terrible. Bear with me here. David asked his best friend, Jonathan. Boy, it's good to have a friend. Now, Sandy's husband, even though he's my cousin, he's my best friend. I could tell him anything, he'd tell me anything, and he'd ask me things, and I'd ask him things. But it's good to have a good friend.
I remember one time we was over there, me and Barry, and he bought a brand new lawnmower and Sandy's on it, and she's riding it. And she's really taking her time going around these trees. And of course, Barry, only Barry notices this. He said, look, she ain't even got the blade engaged anymore. But she's doing such a good job. He let her mow the whole yard. Oh, he told her, honey, you got to engage that gear. What are you going to do? He said, Dick, what are you going to do in your grass? But he was a good friend.
Yeah.
Lord, we've done a lot of things that I can't tell them here. But a good friend, Jonathan, is David's best friend. The Gays try to make something out of the love that they had between each other, because it talks about their love surpassed even the love of women. That they were such good friends, that they loved themselves so much, that I mean they just really made themselves completely vulnerable to each other. You don't do that to just anybody. I'll tell you right now, you get your feelings skint. But David asked his best friend Jonathan, he said, what is my sin? Look at that. 1 Samuel chapter 20. I'm going to have to read some scripture here. I'm sorry. There's ain't no way to put this together. David. And David fled from Naoth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? David don't understand this. Jonathan don't understand this. It just don't make no sense. Right. David is the most faithful servant in the kingdom of Saul. David said unto him, there's but a step between me and death. Look at verse 3. David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I found grace in thine eyes. And he said, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But as truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there's but a step between me and death. David is making this known to his best friend, Jonathan. Then Jonathan said unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. They loved each other. Look down at verse 8. No, I'm sorry. I may be in the wrong place here. I am. I know it's verse 8, but I think I'm in the wrong chapter here. Like I said, there's a lot of scripture in this. Verse 20, verse... Well, come on. I'm looking where David went. Okay. I found it. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, I wrote down the wrong verse. In verse 41, I don't know what in the world I wrote verse 8 for. But verse 41, they had a plan here, and David in his plan was going to show Jonathan that his father was trying to kill him, and it did manifest itself, and Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, verse 30. And he said unto him, I ain't going to read that or repeat it, but he called his own son, a name he shouldn't have called him. He pretty much cursed him. He shamed him. Jonathan got mad. Jonathan, verse 34, he rose from the table in fierce anger. And, you know, he fled. And he comes out here and he meets David, verse 41. They had a plan about this, telling this young boy to go further about getting these arrows. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another. Young gays, they try to mess all this up, saying they had some kind of homosexual. They did not. These are best friends. They're in a low spot. They don't understand this predicament.
And they're trying to encourage one another. And you know what he's saying? I love you. You're my friend. And they're making it known to each other. And it's kind of kissing. They kiss one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. Now I've got a Scofield King James Bible here. As I was reading in my old Bible at the house, just an old King James Bible with large print. One reason I read it, I'm getting old. Can't see no more. I put them glasses on, sometimes they don't even help. But it said that David wept more than Jonathan. Now they both wept. But you see, this was more personal with David. It was personal with Saul. But all this wasn't happening to Saul. That's what I'm talking about when it's your Ziklag.
Right.
You'll weep more than those trying to comfort you. Now, if Sandy come to me and, you know, my son passed away, I'm praying for him this morning, that's all I know to do. Pray for him. But if that wasn't happening, she come and she said, Eddie, I'm so sorry about your son, Bobby. She would try to comfort me, and she might even weep more than I do about it. But she can't understand that pain as much as I can. But we're supposed to try anyway. Supposed to try to encourage one another. And we're supposed to try to help one another. But anyway, David wept more than Jonathan did because it was more personal with David. It pertained to him. And even though Jonathan understood it, he couldn't understand how much David's hurting here. Verse 42. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace. For as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between thy seed and my seed forever.'" And he arose and departed. David's leaving. He's exiled.
Yeah.
Notice here, Jonathan went into the city. David's in exile. Now look, they've come to an agreement of peace, a term of peace. But David, he's at a greater loss. Now, this is a terrible message. Please pay attention to everything I'm saying today. The rage of jealousy takes its toll on others also. Now, it's bad enough that Saul hates David. David's his most faithful servant. David's done nothing whatsoever other than these women bragged on David more than they did on King Saul, and he's jealous.
Yeah.
Now, when I'm talking about jealousy affecting others, this is about as extreme as it gets. It's a good message. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, for the sake of time, I'm going to jump the gun. I'm going to go to verse 14. King Saul has showed up. He's mad. This priest, Amalek, he's giving David some showbread. And Saul's accusing him in verse 13. Saul says unto him, "Why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and has inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as a this day?" David's had several opportunities to kill Saul, and he wouldn't move on any of them. Then Amalek answered the king and said, "Who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of thy father, for thy servant knew nothing of this, less or more." Now this guy, King Saul, and the king said, "Thou shalt surely die, Amalek,
thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footman that stood by him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it unto me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. Boy, I'll commend them for that. Then and the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. 85 men just died. I'm talking about the rage of jealousy.
Yeah.
I'm preaching on encouragement. It's just going to take me a little while to get there. And Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women and children and sucklings and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword, and one of the sons of Amalek, the son of Ethib, named Abathar, these names are terrible, escaped and fled after David. He's running for his life. And Abathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. David said unto Abathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all thy persons, of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me. Fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Now y'all probably missed something in all this Bible reading, but I'm going to help you see it. You see, when they return to Ziklag, start, everything's burnt, and the people's weeping till they can't weep no more, and they're blaming David. I mean, he's got enough on his shoulders. They're blaming him for this. He can't keep any of this from happening. He's tried his best to make the best of this, and he's in over his head. When he told that priest to go get that ephod, when he encouraged himself in the Lord, did you notice who that priest was? Did you notice that? Abathar.
Yeah.
They're both crushed. They've had all they can handle. Abathar's lost every family member he ever had.
Yeah.
David's done nothing wrong. He's lost everything he's got. I mean, they got a wanted poster up. Wanted dead or alive. He just can't take no more. But this young priest, that's the grandson of Amalek, he go gets that ephod. He brings it to David. They can understand this, Brother Ed. They've both been crushed by this nonsense. And David inquires at the Lord and says, shall I pursue? And God says, pursue.
Yeah.
David says, shall I recover? And God says, you'll recover all, boys. That's good, ain't it? I mean, when you're down, you can't take no more. God said you're going to get it all back. So
right.
That'd make anybody feel a little better.
Amen.
And I happen to notice that priest that David said in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David, verse 7, said unto Abathar, the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abathar brought hither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. You know, when you get down as far as you can go, man, I'm telling you, there's only one place to look, and that's to the hills from which cometh our help. But listen, David asked Abathar,
He said, hey, let's work together here. We both had a loss. And listen, the Bible tells us to comfort one another and to care one for another and be clothed with humility and love one another. I'm telling you, everybody's getting it coming and going.
Yeah.
I've been trying to pass out some cards. I sent Brother Ed one. Try to encourage him. I sent him one like I sent Joanne one. It says even little steps will get you where you're going. And I sent one to Sharon. I was going to send her one that might get Sandy. But I seen this one had this dog, this basket in his mouth full of flies. And she got a little dog named Snoopy. And it said, as you recover from surgery, just know this, you're loved and missed or something like that. I'm trying to encourage. Preaching on encouragement. Sometimes it don't make no sense. David done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Abathar done nothing wrong. You run up on people. The Bible says, don't break a bruised reed.
Yeah, that's right.
It says, smoking flax, don't quench it. Some people got all they can handle right now, Jordan. They just need a kind word.
Amen.
They just need to say, I love you.
Right.
They need to hear something like, I miss you.
Yeah.
You know what? Kind word every now and then go a long ways.
Yes,
God help us have our speech seasoned with grace. I like things seasoned. My wife here says, she said, go get me some salt and pepper. I'm looking, she's already got a salt and pepper shaker, so I went and got nothing. I said, there you go, you got four now, is that enough? Make the best of it. Hey, I'm trying to encourage her. I kissed her on the forehead yesterday. She's discouraged, Brother Ed. She's bedfast.
Yeah.
It don't make no sense. I kissed her and I said, I love you, honey.
Yeah.
I said, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Just trying to encourage her. She can't go no more. Only way she go now, Brother Ed, get her in a wheelchair and push her. She got this thing on her hair. All her hairs fell out. She got this thing she puts on her hair, makes her look like a Muslim. I'm trying to encourage her. I say, you look nice. Yeah, I'm trying to encourage her. She's down. Been married to me 45 years till he's told on her case. That preacher did tell her better or worse. She just heard the better. She didn't have that. The richer or poorer, she heard the richer. Good times, bad, she heard the good. She didn't hear about the others. You know how you just about half hear? I did the same thing. I just had her too. I said, I do, 45 years ago. I'm still here. She's still here. We're just trying to encourage one another. I prayed for her this morning, Carolyn. I was praying the Lord would just give her a good day today. She got ringing in her ears. She does look right here. And I think she don't want to hear what I'm saying. She said, no, it's my ringing in my ears. I'm sorry. Her ears ringing. Her foot don't work. I prayed for her this morning. I said, Lord, you're the one that made the ear. Could you help my wife just for one day not to have no ringing in her ears? I'm praying you help her foot get to working where she can walk again. I'm at a loss, but he ain't.
Yeah,
things that are impossible, men, doctors have tried to help my wife. She's got the bills perfect. The things that are impossible, men, Rita, they're possible with God. His hand is short.
That's right.
His ear is not deaf. He's a very present help in trouble, Psalms 46, verse 1. So I'm praying for her this morning. I'd like to go home. I'd like to hear her say, my ear ringing's getting a little better.
Hallelujah.
I'd like that. I will say this. I hope she don't hear this, but I fixed her a plate. Fried chicken, pinto beans, cornbread, and Casey. As I leaned down to handle that plate, my ears started ringing. I said, that plate down back up. I said, honey, I said, you got a devil, ain't no doubt about it. I'm going to try my best to pray and cast that devil out of you. But we need to try to encourage one another. You can do it. Sandy showed up this morning and encouraged me. Y'all showed up this morning, encouraged me.
Yeah.
Hey, I showed up this morning. I hope I encouraged
you. Amen.
There's enough discouragement to go around. You know what I mean, Brother Ed?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just call somebody up and say, hey, I just want you to know I love you, been thinking about you, been praying for you.
Yeah, boy.
Does anybody know Andy Patterson? I found out last night him and his wife's got that virus. You know how they got it? They's done going to take one of them shots. She's in the hospital. I'll just tell you this about those vaccines. Use your own judgment. If I do take one, it'd be probably because I ain't got no choice in the matter. Like I said in Sunday school, we went from a faithful country to a fearful country. It's our own fault. Man, we used to be rich in faith. We're running a little low on it. Oh my. Try to encourage somebody today. If you don't do no more, did Vicky like him? She came in today. Tell her Brother Eddie said he missed her. Came here today. Look forward to her coming back. You know, when you sit on the front row, Brother Eddie, that ain't really. I seen her backing up. There wasn't no way to back up. But I mean, she's just too close. You sitting on the front row, that's Carolyn. You get it, don't you? They see my eyes. They can tell. Hey, man, I'm not looking off. I'm looking right straight at them. Yeah. Try to encourage somebody. We've all got problems. We've all got issues. We're all struggling somewhere. By the same effort that you can discourage someone, you can encourage someone.
That's right.
You can pray for them.
That's exactly.
You can tell them you love them. You can tell them you're glad to see them. I mean, just speak a word of kindness. Help you along that lines. Bible says, be ye tender-hearted one to another, Ephesians 4:32. Comfort one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. The cure for jealousy is found in Romans 12:9-16. I'm looking at the clock back there. I'm going to take time. Like I said, it's raining outside anyway. I can't imagine us having anything better to do. But listen to this. This is the cure for jealousy. Romans 12:9-16. Let love be without dissimulation. That means let it be real. Don't fake it. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And honor, preferring one another. It'd been good if Saul could have had some of that. He could have said, David, thank you for slaying that giant Goliath. But he had a problem with jealousy. Be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing the necessity of saints, giving the hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 12 says, for I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, we got too many Indians, or too many chiefs, not enough Indians. But some men, they take too much on them. They don't understand. It's not about them. It's about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm done right here. Verse 5, it says submitting to one another. And it talks about being humble. You know what? That actually says something I want to read here. Landon, you listen to this, buddy. It says, likewise, you younger. You're the youngest one here, buddy. Casey right back behind you. She may be next in line. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another.
and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Yeah.
Trying to encourage you. Some people's... Let me give you an idea of what I'm trying to say. Father, come home from work. I read this in the Courier Journal paper. Father, come home from work. Casey, he'd had a bad day at work. His little daughter met him at the door. She's glad to see her daddy come home. He took out all his frustration on that little girl. She took off running. She got to a bridge, overpass of the interstate, and jumped off. Little young girl. A woman's car that this young girl fell up on, that the young girl died, she said, I never will forget that little girl's face as she's crying, falling to her dad. You see, he could have said, honey, I've missed you. I love you. But he vented all that on a little young heart that couldn't take it. That killed me. Made me want to wring his neck. Keep that in mind. There's enough hurt to go around.
Oh, yeah.
Try to give some grace. Try to give some kindness. Encourage somebody. And don't put it off. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to encourage you. We sure do need it.
Yeah.
Father, thank you for this message today. Lord, episodes like David are going on even right now. People, Lord, are hurting. They're weeping. They're at wit's end. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They don't know how to get out of their dilemma. Help us not to be a contributor to their misery. Help us, Lord, to have compassion, have care, to want to come and offer help. Help us, Lord. Oh, please let us be like you. Lord, you came down here, Lord, and you brought hope. You came down here, Lord, and loved the unlovable. You made friends with sinners. You helped people, Lord, that thought they were beyond help.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help us to be more like you. And I pray you bless the efforts of this little church, Lord. Let it be known for being a church that loves, a church that cares, a church that goes beyond the normal to try to offer help and hope to those who are in despair. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. And Brother Jerry, can you sing just a verse of Where Could I Go But to the Lord or something? I don't know. I'm not going to. You sing verses, whatever you want to sing, brother. This message right here is real.